Greetings in the name of the Lord. Over a period of time, we have been thinking together concerning scriptural marriage and family. Scriptural marriage and family. And what an important subject this is for our day. Our society desperately needs examples of true Christian families. True Christians, first of all, and then true Christians in family relationship. And I think we have to admit, there are many, many marriages of Christians today that are not everything God wants them to be. I want to speak fairly and respectfully of you who are listening to this broadcast. And as I have no reason to doubt that you are living lives that are pleasing to God. No reason to doubt that your families are everything God wants them to be. But I've also learned in my own life, as old as I am, there is always room for improvement. Now, my emphasis has been not so much on the idea of picking up the pieces after they're broken, but the idea of prevention, preventing these problems from ever developing. From the very beginning of our marriages, in fact, going back into the courtship relationship itself, being everything God wants us to be, making plans for a future marriage in the case of young people, and then as young couples, starting out right with God, having homes that are pleasing to God, having fellowship, spiritual fellowship in the home that is pleasing to God, raising children in the fear and admonition of the Lord, in every way having homes that meet God's standards. I want to deal with a subject that sometimes we don't like to deal with. I want to deal with the subject of strains that can affect Christian marriages. Now, when we talked about the idea of young people in a courtship relationship, we talked about some of the reasons why young people might not fit together. In spite of these reasons why they might not fit together, some young people still get married. They realize there are many differences between them, and they still get married. And I have this firm conviction, once we're married, we stay married. In other words, we don't go back and start over again. We stay married. Therefore, these differences between them that they should have been warned about before they ever got married have come into their marriage relationship. And these differences between them can cause strain in a Christian marriage. Now, I want to be very fair in approaching this subject. We're going to discuss this over a period of several different broadcasts. But I want to be very fair in discussing this subject. There will always be some differences between Christians in a marriage relationship. Even the most perfect joining together of a husband and a wife will still bring some differences between them, because our lives are different when we get married. I remember my first marriage in 1958. I married a church secretary. She died 41 years later. But I remember when we got married. We were both the middle child in the family. We both came from very similar families. Our personalities were very much alike. In other words, we had no major differences of any kind between us. And I want to say very fairly, we had a very, very happy marriage. But I always learned in our marriage, there was always room for change in both of us. In other words, God was continually molding and shaping us so that we would be more compatible with each other. Our marriages would be happier marriages. And I believe this is what God does in the Christian life. So there will always be some differences. But when the differences are great, they cause strain. They cause tension. They cause trouble in a marriage relationship. So we're going to consider just several of them in this broadcast, and then I want to continue this in future broadcasts. First of all, what about when they have major differences in personality and temperament? Now, we warn young people who are courting each other about this problem. And if they find this is true in their courtship relationship, it may be a clear indication they do not belong together. Even though it might be painful for them to part ways, they simply do not belong together. Some people have very angry personalities. Some people have very, very strong personalities. And whatever the differences might be, these differences can cause trouble in a marriage relationship. Now, we're assuming that both of them are Christians. Both of them are responsive to God's Spirit working in their lives. We're talking now about the marriage relationship where this problem is present. Both of them are Christians. They're responsive to the working of the Spirit in their lives. They are willing to change. They're willing to be brought under control. I personally believe that God can bring any problem of a strong temperament or personality under control. He can bring the thought life under control. He can bring a temper under control. He can bring this outspokenness that some people have as a main characteristic of their lives. He can bring all of these things under his control if we are willing to be controlled by the Spirit of God. It's wonderful what the Spirit of God can do in a life, the way he can bring lives under control when these lives are completely submitted to him. Now, when two people both have strong personalities and strong temperaments, this is going to bring clashes between them, going to bring tension between them. But again, as they submit to the Spirit of God, these things can be brought under control. I think the main thing, as I speak to you brothers and sisters who are listening, the main thing is that we are deeply concerned about these differences and we're willing to do something about them. In other words, God is able to give us answers if we ourselves have a deep concern. Now, if people are willful, if they're stubborn, if they're arrogant in their approach to God, God will do nothing for them. In other words, no matter how much they might pray about these differences, if they themselves have a willful, arrogant spirit, God is not going to change them. He's not going to mold them. He's not going to settle this problem between them. I remember one lady said this to me. She said, "My husband is very quiet, has a very meek spirit. I tend to be very, very outspoken. And God, by His Spirit, has taught me to bite my tongue." I love this expression, bite my tongue. "But He's taught me how to bite my tongue so that I don't criticize my husband. I'm not quite so outspoken with him. And God has brought us now into a wonderful relationship with each other." And so this is the first difference. The second difference has to do with major differences in life philosophy. Now, this phrase, life philosophy, refers to their basic purposes in life, their goals they have set for their lives, the expectations they have for life, and what they're willing to do to achieve these. This is called a life philosophy. Now, sometimes people have major differences in their life philosophies. Their goals are not the same. Their purposes in life are not the same. The expectations they have for life are not the same. You can go on and discuss this at great length. But this is a cause of tension sometimes between them. When they seem to be moving in opposite directions, they're simply not moving in the same direction at all. And so this is a source of tension, is a source of conflict. Sometimes this is even a source of a marriage breaking up. And it's a shame when this happens, but sometimes it comes to this. Now, the danger in such a marriage is that the one who holds to the more spiritual and scriptural position may be willing to compromise his or her own life on important scriptural principles just to reach agreement and harmony with the other spouse. In other words, usually in such a relationship, one of them is more spiritual than the other. One is on a very spiritual path, the other one is not. This is not always true. Two people, even who are very spiritual, can have different life philosophies, but usually it's a spiritual problem. And so the one who is the more spiritual is in danger of compromising everything they have held dear, everything that's important to them, everything the Word of God teaches, just to satisfy the other person. And I don't believe this is a solution. I do believe in the loving, tender spirit of the woman in 1 Peter chapter 3, verses 1 to 6. This woman is to have a very loving, tender spirit, but she is not to compromise. In other words, she is to live an out-and-out Christian life, a Christian testimony before this husband. We noted before, the husband in 1 Peter chapter 3 apparently is a man who is somewhat disobedient to God. He could be an unsaved man, But on the other hand, he also could be a Christian who simply is not in right relationship with the Lord. So what is she going to do? The idea of 1 Peter chapter 3, 1-6 is she's to have a consistent, spiritual, quiet, loving relationship with her husband. This is to be a Christian testimony to him. And what it's teaching is this: even without a word being spoken, this husband can be won to a right relationship with the Lord simply because his wife is everything she should be. And what I'm trying to say is this: compromise of one's own convictions is not the answer. Now, if we're merely being stubborn in something, that is different. Then we give in. Sometimes people are merely stubborn. They claim they're taking a scriptural position, when in reality it is simply stubbornness on their part. And this is not what God intends for us. It's not stubbornness. It is genuine spirituality. So in a relationship like this, they need to think together, they need to pray together, and the stronger Christian needs to set the right kind of testimony and an example before the other one, so the other one can change, and their life goals and their purposes in life can also come to be similar. One other thing I want to suggest very quickly before I close, and this has to do with major differences in background. Now, I don't want to go into this deeply. We talked about this when we talked about the courtship relationship. How can backgrounds be so different? They may be backgrounds in culture, in customs. They might be differences in social relationships, in social standing, in society, and so forth. I remember the case of a former student of mine in Manila. This student had a beautiful singing voice. And I remember he married someone from a very, very rich district of Manila. This person was a very, very wealthy person, came from a very powerful family, and they married each other. They never did have a happy relationship with each other. I think I've used this illustration before, but it's a very important illustration of the danger sometimes if the backgrounds are too different from each other. We may marry for the wrong reason. We may marry someone simply because we admire a certain quality in them without realizing how the background is going to affect us, our own background or the background of the one we marry. Now, what could a person do in a case like this? First of all, we take the spiritual step of accepting each other. We accept each other completely. This was taught in Romans chapter 15, verses 5-8. We dealt with this principle in a previous message, but let me mention it again. When there is tension in a marriage because of differences in background, we're going to have to accept what the other person is. Suppose the other person has come from a very poor family, a family that is very neglected, in other words. They may have little as far as life's possessions are concerned. In other words, we respect that person. We respect that person for the character they have, for the kind of person they are, and we learn to accept them. I will never criticize your background. The second step is a step of pleasing each other. We also talked about this in a previous message, and now let's apply it to this particular situation. In the case where their backgrounds are so different, they are trying to please each other. Even the one who seems to be less favored than the other one can still work to please the other person. When a person, for instance, comes from a very poor background, they may not realize the strain they put the person under who comes from a very wealthy and a very privileged background. There are adjustments that person is going to have to make in a married relationship. And the person from a very poor family perhaps has few of these adjustments. So it's difficult for them to realize it, but they're trying to please the other person. These two steps should be taken with humility and with much prayer and with much willingness to meet the needs of the other person. So these problems can be taken care of unless two people, again, have arrogant attitudes towards God. Now, I've just given you several of these strains. There will always be some adjustments in marriage. I want to emphasize this again and again. No matter how perfect the marriage relationship might be, there are adjustments we all have to make in a marriage relationship. And so this will always be present. We must always have this spirit of willingness to make adjustments. But when the adjustments are great, it's going to require great sacrifice and great adjustment in order for these problems to be taken care of. I trust as you have listened to the introduction to this section on strains in marriage relationships, I trust that you have a willingness in your own heart to make whatever adjustments are necessary in your own marriage relationship. And if some of these strains are true in your relationship with your spouse, I trust that you would be willing to make sacrifices and to make changes so that these problems can be taken care of. Marriages do not need to break up. They can be successful if two people are spiritual and are willing to change and make the adjustments they need to make. May God help you to be everything God wants you to be and to make these adjustments in your lives.